it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I got tremendous pleasure from watching Dexter over the years. I don't know why you want to knock it.
Jeff Lutz.
I killed a guy in his sleep last night.
What is he, Bob Huggins? The only thing you offer this show,
I hated the voice,
is your 19 impersonations that sound the same.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Strap yourself in and feel.
Hello and welcome. It's a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We're here until 4 o'clock today. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power, producing, engineering the show. Another hot one here in late July, no surprise there. We'll have some NBC baseball talk a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about the Heritage Classic going on this week out at Rolling Hills Country Club with Jay Delling. All that coming. We've got a Bob and Jeff draft a little bit later in the show. But before we get going on all that, did my St. Louis Cardinals just acquire a starting pitcher, a dire need, and a right-handed bat, a dire need, and give up a guy who hasn't played in a year? Did that just happen, or am I dreaming that?
Well, yes, that happened. However, to just play the other side of the coin, Tommy Edman, while healthy, is an extremely valuable player.
I love Tommy Edman. Hadn't played in a year.
I understand. But if you're just talking about value and how other teams assess value, then if Tommy Edman had been playing and will play, that might be closer to what looks like a fair deal. On paper now, it does not. It looks like you fleeced him.
If you had told me that we would give up one player, Tommy Edman, a good player, but we got those positions covered, at least we got guys who can play them, and we get back a guy who still is very effective against right-handed pitching.
Left-handed pitching.
Left-handed pitching, and Tommy Pham, and we can't do anything against left-handed pitching, so he'll be in the lineup against lefties. I would guess he'll be in the lineup quite often because the Cardinals need that kind of juice that Tommy Pham brings. And then you get a 32-year-old starting pitcher who's kind of resurrected his career by going overseas. He's pitched with a horrible team all year long, yet he's been pretty good with the White Sox.
Of course.
Now, he's a winning record for a team that is about 400 below 500.
Yeah, I would say he's been good, not just pretty good. I would say he's been squarely in the good range.
And to pitch for a team like that can't be easy.
What he was pitching for.
Understood, and now he gets it. He gets sent to a marquee franchise in the game of baseball.
He didn't go to the Dodgers.
You're angry.
I am beside myself. I am consumed. I am.
And he's talking about the Guardians, who haven't done anything yet.
There's no yet.
And I emphasize the word yet.
There's no yet. This, ever since the only
he just
message
took 2 of 3 from Philly, in Philly. Why not be a little happy?
I would be happy if the front office believed in the team enough to invest a little bit more in it and added a player or two that could help them.
You saw the Royals went out and got Michael Lorenzen.
Now, I don't really get that.
He'll probably push Alec Marsh to the bullpen. He's had a pretty good year. Michael Lorenzen is a good pitcher.
He's had a lucky year.
You're just angry. You're very angry. Had the Guardians got him, he'd be the...
I would be okay with it. I wouldn't be excited. I wouldn't be ecstatic.
But they gave up a... The Royals made a
pretty good reliever.
I mean, he's okay. He hadn't been in the big leagues.
Well, a lot of guys aren't in the big leagues that are good.
They're trying to get to the postseason.
Yeah, it's a win move for the Royals. I'm not saying that the trade wasn't good. We'll see what Michael Lorenzen.
I don't know what Michael Lorenzen will
bring. I don't know if he'll be better than Marsh, but if he pushes Marsh to the pin and he can come in and throw 97, then yeah, you've got a plus there.
But I'm just ecstatic, and I've been as critical as you can possibly be about the Cardinals, their front office. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Surely there has to be fairly high-level, top-10 type prospect in this trade to get Fetty and Pham for Tommy Edman. But there's not. There's no prospect. They did not trade anyone from their current roster or in their system.
Correct.
I'm astounded.
Well, that's how it happened.
Well, how do you feel about it? Are you angry with me?
Not angry with you. I'm.
Are you a little irritated?
Why would
me?
I be angry with you? You didn't do anything.
But yeah, I'm gloating about it, and
good.
I know.
I mean, you should be. You got a pretty good start. Sorry, I said he was.
Yeah,
good.
I thought you said he was good.
You got a good starting pitcher, and you got a guy that'll probably blow up the clubhouse. But other than that, we'll see.
Well, there it is. There it is.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, blow up the clubhouse?
I don't know. Is he a guy really that you want to bring that personality aboard?
The Cardinals need all of that they can get. They got a veteran group of veterans. He'll be just fine. He came up in the Cardinal system. We're talking about Tommy Pham. He was a Cardinal for quite a period of time, and he wanted to be with the Cardinals so much so that he went to their spring training facility in Jupiter, Florida this spring, talking about, hey, can I hook on here? They didn't feel like they were in need of Tommy Pham at the time. He got a deal with the White Sox. He's been okay, especially against left-handed pitching, which is what the Cardinals, they don't have a right-handed threat. Now, I would expect that, but before tomorrow's deadline comes, you'll see either Brandon Crawford or Dylan Carlson, maybe even Matt Carpenter, although I doubt it. Brandon Crawford and Dylan Carlson are probably on borrowed time.
But not in a trade sense. Maybe Carlson has some value, but Crawford doesn't, and Carpenter doesn't.
Brandon Crawford is a giant, and he just can't play anymore. Now, I notice that he's always in the middle of things, in the dugout, talking to players, talking to Ollie Marmol. I can see him in that role.
Well, go be a coach.
Yeah,
then.
Maybe bring him as a coach for the remainder of the year.
I don't know if he's a big league coach already, but I'm sure he can.
Come on.
Start somewhere. Maybe you hold on to him in the organization, although it seems like he'd be in the
Giants
organization.
Seems like he'd be a Giant, but you never know. Anyway, I've known since last night the Cardinals were interested in Eric Fetty, and that Tommy Edman was likely to be the trade chip. But I thought there'd be more, and I didn't know there'd be Pham. And I'm happy.
You should be. Nothing to be upset about. Your team tries. The Royals try. The Yankees try. The Orioles try. The Phillies try.
The Astros try.
The
Mariners try.
The Guardians sit on their hands and give us excuses.
Let's see what
happens
over the next 24 hours.
Dude. Who knows this franchise and this team? It's why I'm not unhappy with Travis Bezanna as a number one pick, but he was the zero risk pick. If they had taken Charlie Condon, then you can maybe they're starting to evolve, but they are a zero risk franchise and they're happy with 85 wins. So whatever.
Well, I feel you. Are you leaving them?
This is tough. It is.
Are you considering leaving the Guardians?
No, but I will.
That's what you said in your text.
Yeah, and I will continue to say it. I will continue to blow off steam that way because I'm hot and I'm burning hot. And I'm not going to be with my phone tonight. I'm not going to put myself through that. I'll look at it at 9 o'clock or 10 or whatever and see if anything happened. I know that it won't. And we'll move on to tomorrow and see what happens. Nothing.
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Right.
And you'll be on your phone. You can't resist.
No, I'm not going to be with my phone.
Where are you going to be?
I don't know. We're not going to be
I want to hear more about
I don't know what we're going to do.
You said
but we might go somewhere, but
really?
I'm not taking my phone.
You're just going to leave your phone home.
Yeah, that's right.
What if I try to get a hold of you?
You can text Shannon.
So you're going out for dinner and you're going to leave your phone?
Not necessarily out for dinner, just going out.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
I'm curious.
I don't know yet.
What does that mean? Is that because you don't want to pay attention to the trade deadline?
That's correct.
So you just want to go out?
Yes, I want to wash my hands of it for tonight and back at it tomorrow, which will be agonizing and painful, but eliminate the agony and pain for this evening.
And you're not going to say, Shannon, look up ESPN no. for me.
No.
What if I text her? Hey, you better check this Guardians move.
Please don't.
What if it's a great move?
Well, then
you don't want to know about it?
No, I do not. Because now that you've said that, if we don't get a text, then I'll know that nothing happened. So just let it be, leave it alone.
But if you do get a text,
but I don't want a text.
Well, I'd want to know.
I only want to be.
You texted me some congratulations, like I'm just on my phone all the time.
I want to be disappointed.
Why'd you do that? Why don't you tell me what happened?
I figured you knew you got Fetty. I figured you'd be.
But when I'm involved in League 42 things, I'm not checking this stuff. So why didn't you say, hey, good move you guys made getting Fetty?
Just wanted you to find out on your own.
I didn't know what congratulations meant. Well, my first thought was that KWCH had decided to honor me in some way.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
For what?
I don't know. I said in some way.
That doesn't sound like good journalism.
Probably not. But anyway, you won 2 of 3 from the Phillies.
Yes.
We lost 2 of 3 to the Nationals, and we're pretty fortunate to get the third one. The Royals, after winning the opener against the Cubs, lost 2 of 3. And the Cubs are one of those interesting teams to watch at the deadline. They got Paredes. How do you say his name?
Isak Paredes.
They got him from Tampa. And that's a young guy with a lot of control. Now they did give up Christopher Morel. I'm glad to get him out of the division. I'm
glad like to get 190. Him out.
I know, but he's good. He's got talent. Now, will he ever unlock it? I don't know. But I'm glad to see him gone, frankly.
Well, if he's going to excel anywhere, it'll be someplace like Tampa. Because they usually can get the most out of a lot of their players.
And Tommy Edman will go play really well for the Dodgers. I mean, I know that.
He's been rehabbing. Is he back now or soon?
He's close. He'll be in their lineup sometime this week.
He's like their new, what was the guy's name, Chris Taylor?
I like Tommy Edman. He gave us a lot of good moments. But to be able to turn him into two areas of weakness is pretty good.
White Sox getting Miguel Vargas. I always thought that dude could really hit. He came through with Tulsa a few years ago.
He hadn't hit yet.
And if you give him every day at bats, then we'll see what happens.
Well, but the White Sox are spinning their wheels a little. We'll see. I mean, they're getting rid of everybody. Luis Robert should be next. And they'll get a haul for him.
Crochet. They've got Nick traded Kopech.
Yeah, they still got guys to trade. I was a little surprised John Brebbia. And maybe the Cardinals will revisit that and bring him back to St. Louis. They could still use a bullpen guy.
Nah, yeah, I'm sure. You'll probably get what you could use.
Why are you getting
Guardians?
So,
you know what Guardians make? Excuses.
Why are you getting upset with me? I didn't do this. You just said it earlier.
I'm just saying, you probably get what you want.
I don't know.
I don't get what I want.
What do you want?
A player.
Just a player.
I told you, they've literally made no trades in the last at least 4 years, going back to the pandemic year. No trades to add to the major league roster. Zero. Unless you count Esteban Florial, who was a minor leaguer.
I'm sorry. Listen, I'm sorry to hear it. But when you make these trades, who's the guy you got last year from Tampa?
Manzardo.
And he hadn't done anything.
Well, he should be with the big league
team.
He's
down there in AAA. What's he hit, 230?
He's got like a 9-something OPS.
In AAA?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
And they brought him up, and what'd he have in Cleveland?
He hit a lot of doubles, but he struggled a little bit. Guys get squeezed out. You already have a first baseman. It's just not a well-run organization.
Well, I haven't thought the Cardinals were well-run for a while. Not just the last year and a half.
They make deals. They at least go out.
They
and
do try
to address stuff.
They make deals. They still have prospects they can deal here.
Right.
They'll do something else. before the trade deadline.
Well, even if they don't, you came away
with... Yeah, but they'll do something else. They've got to get a bullpen person.
Well, good luck.
They don't have it in their bullpen. They just don't. So they got to get another arm, and we'll see if they can pull that off.
I'm sure it'll be fun for you. It's not fun for me.
Well, I wish you the best. I hope things happen.
Thank you.
We got through baseball around the clock out at X Stadium with the NBC World Series. A little bit of a rain delay pushed things back some, but a lot of games played. They are they're making headway. Four more games today, four tomorrow, and then the top three teams in each pool, four-team pools, advance to a single elimination bracket that starts Wednesday.
Correct.
Right now, the Derby Twins, and we'll be talking to their coach, Colton Flax, they're 2-0. They're one of those teams that is for sure going to go to the bracket play. And that's my Derby Twins, by the way.
Yeah, they'll be in the Final 12, no doubt about it.
You like me to look back, don't you?
Yeah, go for it.
We didn't have the Derby Twins when I was a kid, obviously. But there was a year or two where they put together a Derby team to try to get in the NBC tournament, state tournament at the time, because you had to go through several layers to make it. And that was a big deal. I remember going to quite a few of their games.
You didn't pitch for them?
They never amount. Well, I was a kid. I was in grade school or maybe middle school. But they never amounted to a whole lot. And
unfortunately, what was the name of that team?
I can't remember what the name of that team was. It was just around for a year or two. But it was fun. And now you got the Derby Twins down there.
They're a staple in that community.
You got the Hayesville Aviators. You got all kinds of teams everywhere.
We're a summer baseball haven, no doubt about it. Not as much now as we used to be. Are the El Dorado Broncos still a thing?
They are not. In fact, I'm not sure who plays in El Dorado. But the Broncos folded that franchise a few years back, and they certainly would be. You know what? That's what we're going to do today for our Bob and Jeff draft. Our top all-time NBC franchises.
All right. Well, no one's going to be able to vote on that.
I don't care.
That's the draft?
That's the draft. Max can't even weigh in. He doesn't really know much about the NBC. But that's going to be the draft today, and that'll be fun. I look forward to that. Top eight each.
My friend Scott reminds me we did get Noah Syndergaard last year, so I apologize.
No, there you go.
And he was fantastic.
Yeah,
only cut him about a month later.
Well, you're with a team that's for whatever reason, and it's a lot of it has to do with where do you rank in attendance this year?
Pretty strong.
With a really good team.
We're well over a million. We're on pace to do
them. Where do you rank?
I don't know where they rank, but the fans have shown up for the Guardians this year and been supportive and been loud, and they're a good team at home, and a lot of people want to see them succeed to a level they haven't succeeded in 76 long years.
The Cardinals are sixth, with a marginal team. It's Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Padres, Braves, Cardinals, Cubs, Astros. Cleveland 20th, averaging 25,000 per night. So not atrocious, but certainly with a team like this, you'd like to see more.
They've had a lot more big crowds lately. It takes a while, for whatever reason, for Cleveland to warm up to their baseball team.
Kansas City should be ashamed, 26th, barely ahead of the White Sox. They're only drawing a couple thousand more per game than the worst team perhaps in baseball history. Baltimore only 18th.
I don't know why fans don't go to their games. It's weird.
Colorado still draws 30,000 a night. How does that?
With a terrible franchise.
How does that happen? Because you're in Denver, and the weather's always great.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like being outside at a ball game in moderate temperatures.
And, yeah, they should be celebrated for continuing to show up for a team that hasn't rewarded them.
Right. To be in the top half of Major League Baseball in attendance. Kudos to the Colorado Rockies, and those folks need to try to put a better team on the field. And they're getting there. Charlie Condon will help. Maybe they'll make some strides.
Maybe.
Time for a break. When we come back, Colton Flax, manager of the Derby Twins. They are making a push in the NBC World Series, 2-0 in pool play as we speak. Back in action tomorrow night at X Stadium. We'll talk to the head man of the Derby Twins, Colton Flax, next. Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Colton Flax from the Derby Twins, their manager, and they are 2-0 so far in the NBC World Series at X Stadium. They've beaten, get this, the Liberal BJs and the Boulder Colorado Collegians, two of the most historic franchises in NBC history. Colton, hello, welcome.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. Yeah, it's been a good start, and looking forward to continue throughout this week.
No question. So tell us about your team down there in Derby. You had a very good regular season as well. Just tell us about some of the players you have and how that team has caught on a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we kind of had a slow start to the summer. That's just because how competitive our league is. But we have a mixture of guys from all levels. You know, we have guys from JUCO scene, from, you know, Cali, and then we have guys from JUCOs all the way out in Arizona, and then we have all the way up to, you know, your hometown, Wichita State Shocker Division I baseball. So we have players from all levels throughout that come here during the summer, and we've been playing well, and we've had a good mix. And during the second half of the season, we went on a pretty good run to kind of finish our season strong and kind of make our way into the NBC World Series.
So we'll discuss the reason why you're no longer the Hayesville Aviators manager. There was some funny trading going on there. But did your recruiting this year and building a team, did it build off of the relationships you had made there, because you're also the coach for campus in Hayesville, or did you kind of have to start fresh?
Our GM Jeff Wells, so my role with Hayesville, you know, I did most of the recruiting, and you know, I still have those contacts and still recruited from the same colleges for the Derby Twins. But our GM Jeff Wells, he does a great job to contact guys, and that's something that he loves to do himself as well. So some of the load was actually taken off of me this summer with trying to recruit as many players in, because Jeff does a really good job contacting guys in the fall, and he helps recruit. So we work together to recruit guys, and you know, we obviously communicated really well with one another and kind of what guys we wanted and wanted to bring in, and we put ourselves a roster together. So but definitely the same contacts that I had with Hayesville, I kind of took over to Derby, and excited to have those guys and still have them with our summer ball squad.
Talking with Colton Flax, as Jeff mentioned, also the head baseball coach at Campus High School. You get your opportunity to coach collegiate baseball in the summer. How does that work out? Which of those do you prefer? Does it kind of rejuvenate you, I would guess, in both ways, going from high school to college and then college to high school?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you I like coaching college better, because it's more of a game management style. Whenever you get to the college games, you know, you're recruiting and bringing your own players in to play for you. So it's kind of a fun aspect. You get to recruit your guys, and then it's on you for who you bring in. And then, you know, it's more when they come, they know how to play the game of baseball pretty well. And I mean, you're coaching throughout the summer, but it's a lot more game management set to where high school, you know, I have a really big passion for it because, you know, I'm still in Hayesville and at campus, and that's where I went to high school, and you know, that's where I grew up. So I want to succeed and do well there, and you know, that's more of a, you know, a skill development, and you have a lot shorter period of time with what you have to try to have a short regular season, even though they extended it this year. But it's definitely two different aspects of baseball, but I really enjoy doing both. But if I had to choose one, obviously, I think most guys would enjoy the summer college baseball style because it's more laid back when you kind of bring in your own guys. And obviously the talent's wild, but again, there's nothing better than being the head coach for my hometown where I grew up and played as well.
Well, I'll say this. I'm glad you get to experience Derby, being a Hayesville guy. Everybody should get to experience the wonderment that comes with being in Derby. I say that as a Derby guy, and I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were a Derby guy. I figured that would get brought up, so that's awesome.
So we alluded to it just a second ago, but, you know, your brother was the Derby Twins coach last year, and you were with Hayesville. Now it's the opposite. How did that all go down?
Yeah, so kind of long story short, there was an opportunity that I thought that was going to arise with the new facility out in Park City that they're building, that complex they're building out there. We were kind of thinking that might be a possibility for this summer that they're talking about building it. So before my season was up last year with Hayesville, I was reached out by somebody that was wanting to take a team there to Park City, and they asked if I had any interest in, being the head coach out there and running the new team that's going to be out at that new complex in Park City. And I jumped on that opportunity, and I wanted to do that, and kind of, you know, I was going to get away from Hayesville and go do my own thing. But that obviously did not work out to where, it wasn't going to be built in time. And as soon as I left Hayesville, my brother, he actually, I contacted him and told him the Hayesville job was going to be open. And he lives in Hayesville, and he's close to Hayesville. And so he kind of wanted to do that. So he took the Hayesville head job. And my intentions were still to go up to Park City and start the new team up there. And, or, you know, it's actually the Cheney Diamond Dogs, and I played with them during the summer, but we were going to try to move them out there and be the Park City Diamond Dogs. And we found out that it wasn't going to be built in time. So kind of early fall and late summer, I was kind of scrambling to find another gig because that wasn't going to be there for us to do. So the Derby job was still open. So Jeff contacted me, and it kind of fell into place to where, you know, we flip-flopped. It wasn't like a trade or anything like that. That wasn't the original intention. It's just kind of how it worked out and how things ended up being.
Talking with Colton Flax, manager of the Derby Twins. They are 2-0 in the NBC World Series, back at it tomorrow night. They are already assured of being in bracket play, and that starts Wednesday. How'd your season series against your brother and the Aviators go? Who won that series?
We went 2-2. We split the series.
Oh, that's good. That's good for your family.
My parents usually only come out to those four games a year. They don't like coming out in the heat, but they come and watch us play one another. So it makes it better whenever we do split. Even though I want to win every game, it's not bad whenever you get a split with the other siblings.
So how much did the Hutchinson Monarchs winning this thing last year kind of pump new life and new blood into everybody else? Because it was starting to look like Santa Barbara and Seattle were becoming a little bit too dominant, maybe. How important was it to see the Monarchs do what they did last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've grown up Wichita the whole time, and, you know, everyone knows that Santa Barbara and Seattle's kind of the team to beat when you get to the tournament. And what Hutch did and what was more impressive last year is, you know, they had a slow first half of the season, they finished like third overall in our league last year, kind of similar to what we're doing now and kind of what we did. You know, we finished third overall, but, you know, they didn't take first or second in our league last year, and they kind of got in last minute like we did. And but they got hot at the right time, and, they ended up having a really good tournament, and obviously defeating Santa Barbara in the championship. So it just goes to show that, you know, this league around here, it's really competitive, especially our top half. And the guys that we bring in, you know, they can compete, even though they might not be all Power Five guys. Baseball is kind of one of those sports where you can find really good ball players everywhere, and you can compete with the top level players. So we're hoping to kind of keep on that same trend, and hopefully our league keeps doing well in the NBC World Series.
How much do guys, players, I mean, look at summer baseball as an opportunity? I'm just looking, for example, at a guy like Richard Gutierrez, who got to play with his junior college team, but had just an okay year. And this year, this summer, he's crushing the baseball. He's hit four homers, obviously, with the wood bat. So how do you kind of find those diamonds in the rough a little bit? And how eager are guys typically to show what they can do during the summer?
Yeah, so it's back to the recruiting thing. It's a little easier to recruit JUCO guys just because anywhere but Division I baseball, I mean, even Division I baseball, they finish kind of late into the season. And, you know, based on where you're recruiting out of, if there's Division I talent that's playing in postseason baseball, they're going all the way into June and into the middle of June. So it's a tough thing to have guys and have a team ready to go. You know, whenever our season started, we started on June 1st this year. I think our guys reported on May 27th or May 28th. So, you know, you kind of got to recruit the JUCO level guys and Division II and, you know, maybe mid-major D1s. And again, you kind of look and you kind of go off what their coaches say. You know, you put faith in the programs that you recruit to and the coaches that you talk to, and they'll tell you. Because, I mean, we have a bunch of JUCO guys right now, but I guarantee you there's going to be some guys that end up playing Division I ball that are from our team this summer that are out of JUCO right now. But here in a year or two, they will be at a Division I. So we look at it in that perspective, and we kind of want to help grow and help them gain confidence and go into their sophomore season at their JUCO and have a really good sophomore year.
Talking with Colton Flax, he's the manager of the Derby Twins. They play the San Diego Stars tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock at X Stadium. They are 2-0 in their pool play. They are assured of advancing to bracket play, which starts Wednesday. Colton, thanks for spending time with us. We appreciate it. And go Derby.
Absolutely. Go Derby, and appreciate you guys having me on. And we're hoping to make a good run here and finish our season strong.
All right. Thank you, Colton. All right, Colton Flax from Derby Twins. We'll continue to cover NBC World Series. Breaking news.
No. Outfielder Dylan Carlson is drawing interest from the Guardians, Angels, and Nats for a source.
How do you feel about getting Dylan?
I'd be thrilled.
Can't do anything, but how do you feel about him?
Oh, just bring him in and stand him in center.
Feel bad for Dylan because he looked at one time like a potential star.
Not sure did.
Say superstar. That's crazy. But he looked like a star when he came up. And he's completely lost his way. And that's the kind of guy that I could see doing fairly well with a new team.
Well, maybe after a stint in AAA.
Yeah.
Let's just pump the brakes on Dylan Carlson.
Well, who will you give us for him?
$1? I don't know.
What about Ramirez?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I got to ask.
Rafael Ramirez Jr.?
The way we're moving right now, I got to ask.
Probably not that Ramirez.
Stephen Kwan?
Probably not.
Who's your closer?
Miles Straw?
Emmanuel Classe.
Unlikely.
I don't blame you. Jay Delling joins us. We're going to talk about the Heritage Classic. It's coming up this week out at Rolling Hills Country Club. It's kind of an homage to the LPGA Tour, which was founded right here in Wichita. Jay, hello.
Hey, how are you guys? Well, 1980, you're
talking about 1980. I think I'm just going to start calling you Mr. Golf. Are you Mr. Golf? Are you good with that?
I'm good with that.
So tell our listeners something. What is the Heritage Classic? Why is it? I kind of mentioned why it's happening in Wichita. Just talk about the history of it and what we should look forward to this week out at Rolling Hills besides excessive heat.
Yeah, it's gonna be hot out here. You know, I was out here last year, and I was just so impressed with the product that this tour has out here, the Anika WAPT. And just to give you and the listeners some context, it's kind of like the men's Canadian tour. So you got the PGA Tour, you got the Korn Ferry, and then you've got the Canadian Latino Tours, right? So it's kind of that. Maybe double-A baseball. So this tour was started about, you know, 6 years ago, just like the Korn Ferry was, to give these young players a chance to develop their games And Rolling Hills just really latched onto it. David Guy, the director of golf out here and the tournament director, has really gotten into the history of Rolling Hills and women's golf. 74 years ago, Babe Zaharias, one of the biggest names ever in women's golf, won the U.S. Women's Open at Rolling Hills by 9 shots. And she was so happy about that, she gathered 12 other great players of the day, and they carved it out over, a pen and a napkin. And they created this business plan and this vision for the LPGA Tour. And so David Guy really wanted to kind of tie that into professional golf and this opportunity for the Annika Sorenstam, who has put her name on it, the WAPT Tour. And 3 years ago, it started here at Rolling Hills. And in fact, this year, this is the Tour Championship. This is the creme de la creme of a year-long chase for these players to get on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah, that kind of answers part of my question. I was going to ask you kind of what's at stake here, because we know in the Korn Ferry Tour you can get your PGA Tour card. So what would be the next step logically for these young women, and what ultimately are they playing for on this tour?
Well, the top five on Sunday, once all the smoke is cleared, the top five will be awarded to go to the finals of Q School. They'll be able to skip all the first couple of stages. They'll be able to go to the finals to compete for a chance to go on the LPGA Tour next year, or to be a member of the Epson Tour, which is the Korn Ferry equivalent. And this is my first year to be really heavily involved, so I'm still learning about this tour, but I do know the first two winners of the Heritage Classic, both the next year went on to have some kind of conditional status on the LPGA Tour. And so when you look at this event, Marielle Galdiano a couple years ago won this event. Last year, Gurleen Kaur set a all-time tour record of 23 under par here at Rolling Hills. And, the next year, this year, she's got some kind of conditional status on the LPGA Tour. So these girls can play. I watched 9 holes of the final group last year, followed them for the first 9 holes. They played in threesomes, and the threesome carded 8 birdies accumulatively on the front 9. So it's what got my attention, because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know the kind of play that this tour had, but I was a little surprised, but I was certainly impressed. And then you guys know me, I'm a sucker for history, just like you two are. And I fed into the great stories about how Rolling Hills, is a huge part of the development of women's professional golf.
Talking with Jay Delling, he's involved with the Heritage Classic. It's running all week, but the tournament itself, Thursday through Sunday out at Rolling Hills Country Club. And we look forward to that. Actually, Wednesday, right? It starts on Wednesday.
No, the Pro-Am's Wednesday, and then tournament proper starts on Thursday.
Okay. So what level of player do we have here? Are these mostly collegiate players from the United States? Are these international players? Is it a mixture? What kind of field are we looking at?
Yeah, 127 players representing 18 countries. And we have players that have played in U.S. Opens, U.S. amateurs in the last couple of years. We've got college All-Americans, a lot of, 21, 22, 23-year-old ladies that, again, much like the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, that tour has just gotten so young. As I look over the starting field and do a little bit of research on these ladies, a lot of them are that, 21, 22, 23 years old. Haley Cooper, for example, has only played three events this year, fresh off a great career at Texas A&M, was a college All-American. She's played in the U.S. Open. She's fourth on the points list in only three events. She's get this, she's got two wins and a seventh place finish. So these girls can play. I expect Haley Cooper to be on the LPGA Tour next year. So there's a lot of stories like that. One of our own local players, Kinsley Jones, the granddaughter of Greer Jones, received a sponsor exemption. She's had a great high school career. She'll be a senior next year at Mays High School. She's already won two or three state championships. I'm a member out at Reflection Ridge and live on the first hole. I see her out there all the time. Greer's out there working with her. So it'll be interesting. This will be her first professional tournament. So some local ties there. So a lot to look forward to. We're going to have good weather. It's going to be hot weather. You don't have to pay a penny to get in. Free admittance to watch, you know, the future stars of tomorrow in women's golf.
I don't know how closely you follow it, Jay, but what have been your observations about the LPGA Tour? I know Lexi Thompson is retiring. Michelle Wee retired a few years ago. It seems like the tour had always kind of been built around one or two stars, mainstream people. Annika Sundstam has been one of those in the past. Do they have that now? And with women's sports in general kind of taken off, is the LPGA keeping up, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's just so many great players from Asia, and they are great players. So the U.S. actually has the number one ranked women's player in the world, Nelly Korda. If you remember Peter Korda, who is a pretty good tennis player, played professionally, but Nelly is the number one player in the world. And there for a while Scottie Scheffler was winning his, I don't know, four or five tournaments in a row, she was doing the same thing during the same time on the ladies tour. And so she's a very dominant player. And there's several other American women players. And again, they're all young. They're all very young. So I think the women's game is in a pretty good shape. I mean, they're playing for $125 million this year, the purses on the LPGA Tour. And I think the purse just at Rolling Hills for the U.S. Women's Open in 1950 was, I think, $4,000, the total purse. So they come a long way.
Talking with Jay, yeah, that's pretty good. That reminds me of the way my salary's gone up lately. Jay Delling, our guest. Jeff didn't like that, by the way. He looked off into space like, what's this old man saying? Oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, he didn't get that because he didn't get he didn't get his allowance when he was growing up.
That's right.
He saved a lot of money that way.
So Jeff alluded to the fact that women's sports is kind of in the spotlight in many different ways right now. And with what's going on the PGA Tour and LIV and the way that's kind of been divided, it seems to me like this is a really good opportunity for women's golf to at least get into the spotlight a little bit, and that this tournament in particular could really take off and become another tournament, another golf tournament in Wichita that we very much look forward to every summer. Do they talk like that around the Heritage Classic? Do they see the potential for growth?
Yeah, you know, David Guy and his staff here have actually talked about that. And the vision is, you know, in a perfect world would be elevating how they run a tournament. And I've been around the Wichita Open for 35 years and they do a great job. I'm so proud of this city, this part of Kansas on the job they do with the Wichita Open. I'm telling you what, Rolling Hills rolls out the red carpet. And to talk to these ladies about how Wichita is exponentially just better than any of the other tour events. Tomorrow night is the welcome party, and Rolling Hills is rolling out their best menu. They feed these girls like you can't believe, and these girls are used to, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers at all the other events. And so Wichita has grown very quickly on this tour as the place to play, so much so that the vision for Wichita is to ultimately host an Epson Tour event. So to your point, Bob, I think there's a lot of opportunity for the growth of women's golf and how they operate, how they run. Again, to Jeff's point, I think there's some emerging American professionals who are making the game fun to watch. I mean, if you follow Nellie Kors, she's got a really good personality. She's fun to watch. She cracks jokes, and it's like, you know, playing with a buddy on Saturday morning. So I think there's a lot of potential, as you said, Bob, for this tournament to grow, and you know, Wichita's a good place for it, because we know that Wichita wraps their arms around yearly iconic athletic events. The NBC tournament has been around for, you know, a million years. The Wichita Open has been around for 35 years, and I think this is a great addition.
All right, Jay, we always appreciate it. There's a bunch of shade trees at Rolling Hills, so if you want to get out and watch and try to stay cool, you can certainly sit in the shade. We appreciate you coming on to talk about this tournament.
You got it. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
All right, Jay Delling from the Heritage Open coming up this week, Thursday through Sunday, at Rolling Hills Country Club. We've got a Bob and Jeff draft coming up in hour number two. Tomorrow on the show, comedian Felipe Esparza will be among our guests. We look forward to that. Stay with us, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
It's the weirdest thing. I feel like I've been in a coma for about 20 years, and I'm just now waking up.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I remember playing some of my best ball when it was freezing outside.
Best what ball?
Anything that involved a ball, I played it.
Jeff Lutz.
Again, you played your best ball by yourself? I assume most people do. You never got your shot blocked playing by yourself.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's the ball.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. Oh, we're both on pins and needles waiting for more trade action.
I'm not really. I know what's going to happen.
And I feel bad for you.
Why?
I don't know, man.
Why did I get stuck with a good team who doesn't make – I don't get it. I get you're a small market, whatever, blah, blah. It's just excuses.
Baltimore's kind of the same market.
They have an owner, though, who –
And they're moving like crazy. They're trying – they're going to acquire a – I would not be shocked if they got Snell or Crochet.
Well, they can get anyone,
and they got
want.
The prospects to deal from.
I don't know that Snell would cost a lot because he's got a $38 million option.
No, he's been pitching like a madman the last couple times out. We'll see. We'll see. It looks like you're in on Dylan Carlson.
There's no Dylan Carlson market. Okay.
The Angels, Nats, and Guardians.
Well,
seem to be
go Nats.
He's only 25, and he's an athlete.
You know who's younger than 25? Angel Martinez, John Kinsey Noel, Chase DeLauder. I mean, we've got guys who are 25. Go get me a 31-year-old masher.
Well, apparently this is a guy you're going to settle on.
I hope not.
And listen, I did something I've never done in my life, and that's turn on notifications. From baseball writers.
Crazy.
So if something happens, I'll get a notification.
I bet I beat them to it.
It'll ping my phone.
Excellent.
I feel like I'm in the know.
Well, good. Better than just refreshing Twitter all day.
Listen, this baseball trade deadline is something I've loved every year. Sometimes the Cardinals make good moves. Sometimes they don't. But they usually make moves, right?
Right.
Last year, they were sellers. And they brought some interesting prospects into the fold. Have any of those guys really stepped forward yet? No.
Isn't Sagacy, but he just...
He's in AAA.
Where's he going to play, though?
He's starting to figure it out.
We got to put him in the outfield or something.
No, he'll play in the infield.
Where?
Third.
I guess.
I mean, the Cardinals could shock us all and trade Nolan Gorman. What if we threw him into the deal with the Guardians?
Pass. Again, we have plenty of young guys who could...
Have 40 home run potential young guys?
Yeah.
Who?
John Kinsey Noel. Did you see the ball he hit yesterday?
John Kinsey Noel.
Yes. Did you see the ball he hit yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
No,
just
I'm
absolutely
not.
Hammered it.
Well, good. What's he hitting?
He's hitting 250. He's a power hitter. Strikes out a lot. Doesn't walk a lot. But he'll get into one occasionally and make himself worth it.
Nah, those are the kind of guys. They're like Nolan Gorman. Those are the kind of guys you always think, well, he's going to – if he could just cut down his strikeout rate.
But he doesn't
10
really –
10 years later, you're looking at a guy that it's just not working out.
He's not
going to
hit 190
saying?
Like Nolan Gorman, though. He had
he'll hit 190.
He had a good year in the minor leagues. He's up.
So did Nolan Gorman.
Eh, who cares? He's figuring stuff out. Just be on the lookout for John Kinsey.
No, I'm not.
You know what they call him, right?
You sound like me with Nolan Gorman a few years ago.
You know what they call him, right? Big Christmas. Is that guy going to fail? No chance.
Of course he has a chance to fail.
Not even a little bit.
How old is he?
I don't know. 22? Still a young guy.
Well, I don't know. Listen, now you're starting to get optimistic again. Either you're going to be in or you're going to be out.
I'm optimistic about John Kinsey Noel. I'm not optimistic about a lot of... He's 23 in 14 days, so he just turned 23.
Well, listen...
He's a youngster.
I hope the best for him, and we'll see. We'll see what he does.
He's already been worth a sixth of a win.
But I feel it in my bones that the St. Louis Cardinals aren't done.
Okay. That doesn't mean anything.
And that's why. I mean, the reason why is because...
What'd you get?
The reason why... Well, we've just acquired Babe Ruth.
Excellent.
What do you mean, what did I get? Nothing happened.
I fooled you.
And don't do that. Wait a minute. What did I get? New notifications for Bob Nightingale.
Well, I'm sure he's tweeting, but he's not tweeting about the Cardinals.
You never know. You never know.
Mariners get Justin Turner.
Which helps them.
I guess.
I mean, it's a bat.
He's 50.
Doesn't matter. They're trying to get to where they want this year. That's what all this is about. Now, the Cardinals get Eric Fetty next year.
I understand that.
But they've added a Rosarena and Turner. That makes them a little better.
A little bit. That lineup still needs help, but I'm... Man,
they'll
I wish
probably
I
probably go out and get it.
I wish I had Jerry DePoto. Just throw anything at the wall. But they don't suffer for it. They still know how to develop pitching and bring those guys up and make moves that they need to make. And the Guardians is like, well, we don't want to trade this prospect. We don't want to trade that prospect. But other teams do it, and they seem fine. So I don't understand.
Now you're getting worked up again.
I am
What's
worked
gonna
up.
Be with you?
Mariners aren't a team that's just going to be in contention every year, but they make the most of it when they are.
Well, they got this pitching right now, and they know it. It's hard to add the right pieces. You know, Julio Rodriguez last year was an MVP candidate. This year, no.
Pretty average.
They just released Ty France, who's shown some ability to hit in the past.
Well, they traded him to the Reds, but yes.
But they released him first.
Well, you can't release somebody and then trade him.
Well, they DFA'd him.
Correct.
That's basically released.
But they still had his rights.
Right. But they basically said, we're done with this guy.
Yeah, and they got a nobody for him.
Cal Raleigh's not really panned out that well. J.P. Crawford's hurt. So they're just, it's not coming together for
they're
them the way
place.
They hoped.
And they've hung on because Houston was bad to start the year, and now it's actually good.
So this is an exciting time of the year for baseball people.
Can you turn your notifications off just until the end of this
show?
Why,
did I get another note?
No, I just don't want to know. And I'm not.
Oh, I'm getting notes out the, you know what. Let me give you the latest. Nah.
And the Guardians also have a bunch of guys that are out of options and do not fit on the roster. Trade them. Get something.
Well, we hope, we can only hope.
That's right.
It won't be long before we find out what the Cardinals are going to do with Dylan Carlson. That seems to be the next one.
Yeah, but does anyone really want him?
Probably. And here's why. Because he was once a top 100 prospect in the big
A lot of guys were once top 100 prospects.
And baseball
and
people
out.
Think they're the ones to fix somebody, right? We've seen the Cardinals do that. We've certainly seen...
Who have the Cardinals done it with?
They always think they can fix somebody.
Who?
You know, just name them.
I'm trying.
If you go out and get them in a trade, they think they can fix them.
You don't really take on that many, like, projects, though.
Yeah, of course they do.
Like who?
Well, think about it for a minute.
I'm thinking.
If you just give it some thought, you'll come up with it.
All right. I have. What next?
Michael Ciani.
Oh, please. He's not a project.
Of course he is.
He's a glove first guy.
Who's hitting 250 and starting to show signs that he can hit a little.
John Kinsey's hitting 250.
And can't catch a cold.
Yeah, he's pretty good out defensively.
No, he's not. He's terrible.
Yes, he
I've
is.
Watched him.
No, you haven't.
Might as well take a skillet out there to play in the field.
He knows what he's doing.
Well, I hope he works out for you.
He can find his way around right field. There's no question about it.
869-1240. We're going to do a Bob and Jeff draft here shortly. All-time National Baseball Congress World Series franchises. All-time. So we can go back 90 years on this
one. Good if we wanted to. I don't know how much love that would get us. I mean, there are some franchises from the early days who are immortal.
Well, I mean, you look at a franchise, we're going to have trouble here.
No, I got my 16. I'm ready to go.
I don't even need a list.
That's fine.
I'll annihilate you. And you know what? Who will have a weigh in on it?
Chris
my
Davis.
My friend Bill Kentling.
Who?
Bill Kentling. Used to work at the NBC, knows a lot about it. You know Bill Kentling.
I may have met him.
Used to be the general manager of the Wichita Wings. Used to be the sports editor of the Wichita Eagle Beacon.
Oh, that's a big one.
Used to be involved in Pizza Hut.
He's got
back
his,
when they were
got
just
his
being
hands
founded.
In a lot of institutions.
And then Chris Davis will know. Our friend Steve Schad is somebody who will have his finger on the pulse. What about the one and only Michael Dean?
Yes, he's around.
Long
he's in town.
NBC score.
I was not asked to help official score the NBC.
He wouldn't want you.
Well, Kevin Jenks asked around, and I just don't like.
What do you mean he asked around?
He asked other people, and I just don't. I don't take kindly to disloyalty. So.
What do you mean he asked other people?
That's what I mean.
Michael Dean doesn't need any other people.
For day games. He's not going to be there like all day, and nor would I. But I could do like a, I could do a game. I could do a Saturday afternoon game. But I wasn't asked.
No, we don't want
Even
you.
Though, you know what, Kevin Jenks, I'm awesome at official scoring.
We don't want you. Good
yeah,
for
that,
Kevin.
That hurt me, and when I'm hurt, I hurt. So
well,
I'm going to go
know
out
why
and hurt,
wouldn't ask
I'm going to go out and hurt some people.
I don't know why I wouldn't ask you. He's probably got his reasons.
I'm sure he does.
You're fine doing your thing with the wind surge.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
They don't need you at the NBC. I haven't been, obviously, around the NBC World Series in a while now, but I was for many years, and when Mike Dean started, he comes down from Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is his home, and that's one of the franchises you better have on your list.
Do I?
You don't have the Sullivans?
Do I? Or don't I?
You probably do, because if you have 16 and you don't have them, you're not barking up the right tree.
I've got my 16.
But anyway, Mike would come down, and still does, from Grand Rapids every year for this thing. Spends a couple weeks in Wichita, gets him a jug of New Way root beer, and he's happy as he can be.
It's beautiful.
Plays the national anthem on his harmonica.
And Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
And Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He's as much a part of the heritage and tradition of this tournament as anyone has ever been. And I always enjoyed my time with the one and only Mike Dean.
Just an average scorer, though.
No, he's a great scorer. And he knows more about scoring than you'll ever know.
You think?
Yes.
Oh, that hurts my feelings. I better catch up.
He's got cards.
I don't need cards. I got a microphone.
He's just a genius. And if the people with the wind surge ever got experience with him scoring, they'd kick you to the curb.
You think so? Would I at least?
So fast.
I don't know. I'm more fun.
If Mike Dean went to the wind surge today and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about moving to Wichita, but one of the things, can I score for you guys? They would say, oh, my God, yes. We'll tell the other clowns.
All of us?
Yeah.
Even Fred?
Yeah, even Fred.
I love Fred. Fred's so old.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. I couldn't think of an adjective.
Why do you say that about Fred?
I love Fred. Fred's my guy.
You can't call people old.
I like working with Fred.
You know that?
Yeah, I love Fred.
No, don't try to get back.
He knows that I love him.
Don't try to get back
into
the good
grace. I've told him that I love him.
Yeah, but you just came on this show and called him old.
Well, I was going to, I don't know.
Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that.
They don't?
No.
Well, my day's coming, hopefully.
And what are you going to think when people call you old?
I'll be like, yeah.
I don't know that I want to be called old.
Well, you are a little.
A little?
Getting 70 is your next birthday.
70?
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be around.
Why not?
Because let's just say that I lived a lifestyle that probably wasn't indicative of getting to 70.
No, you did.
I wasn't crazy.
Did you have more fun being 20 in the 70s or 70 in the 20s?
That's a Joe Walsh line, and it's not something you came up with. So I'm not.
How do you know he came up with it?
I'm not going to let you take credit for that. Being 20 in the 70s was the time of my life. The absolute time of my life.
1975?
If I hadn't wrecked it with marriages. But
you weren't 20, and you weren't married at 20.
We all do things.
Why do you say you wrecked your life by marrying my mother? That's a horrible...
Well, I wasn't... I was 26.
That wasn't... I married her. Yeah, well...
I didn't wreck my life. Let's call it a fender bender.
Fine.
And I loved your mother. We had great times together.
You did?
Sure.
Okay.
Including one...
That's over the line.
About April of 82.
Over the line.
What do you mean over the line?
It would have been March. Maybe even February.
Oh, my goodness. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll do the Bob and Jeff draft here on KFH All-Time NBC World Series Franchises. That's next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We are joined by Nick.
Hold on. Before you take this call, just know that when this person arrives on the air, we got a big problem.
Uh-oh. Why do you say that?
I called out Nick from Chicago last week. I didn't hear from him.
Well, Nick from Chicago joins the show, and it's always my pleasure, Nick, to have you on.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk to you, Bob.
Well, you're darn right. How you doing? How you been? What's up?
I'm doing good, man. I mean, you know, just talking about AIDS. You know, hey, Bob, it's only a number, buddy. I'm 76 years old, okay? I don't feel 76.
No way.
I feel 56, maybe.
You don't look 76. You don't act 76.
No. You do kind of sound 76.
Well, that could be, you know, because...
You have my permission to wail on Jeff next time you see him.
Oh, my God.
Or better yet.
Hey, the last time I called, you were talking about facial hair, mustache hair. I had to call in to change the subject about Fields, because me and you were in the same boat about Justin Fields staying with the Bears, right, at one time? And
yeah.
I had a call in your show. They're talking about facial hair. Come on. It's a sports show.
Well,
sometimes it's a facial hair show. You never really know what you're going to get.
When I'm not here, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
It's up for grabs, Bob. But you sound great, and keep up the great work that you're doing with League 42, buddy.
Hey, I always appreciate hearing from you. Really do, and we hope to see you soon, Nick.
Hey, by the way, talking about that, you know, we got to still have the extradition going. We got to bring in a couple of summer pies, you know, when you guys are
in
studio.
We'll do that. You tell Max a day that works for you, and we'll make sure we're in there that day, okay?
All right, and give me a little air time. Let me get a couple of calls.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. We'll give you whatever you want, Nick.
All right. Well,
hey, good to hear from you.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for talking to me.
See ya.
All right, Nick from Chicago. And I love Nick. Just a good guy. All right. We are ready to play the Bob and Jeff draft. Now, I can go way back, and I know you can too. All you got to do is look at the history books. All-time National Baseball Congress World Series franchises. We're each going to pick eight.
All right.
Let's flip the coin.
Can I call it?
Sure, as long as you don't look at it.
All right, I'm pushing the button. I call heads.
Tails it is.
You going to go first or second?
I'm going to go first because I think Santa Barbara has jumped to the forefront of this list. Now, I will say this. They haven't had the type of competition.
Correct.
Some of these franchises have had. It's not a 48-team field anymore. And listen, they've won when it was a bigger field. They've been winning for more than 20 years in this tournament. The Santa Barbara Foresters are my number one pick.
Cool. I'm going to take a couple teams out of Alaska. First would be the Anchorage Glacier Pilots.
Well, you got them in the reverse order, but
second would be the Fairbanks.
I can appreciate that. It should have been Fairbanks 1, Anchorage 2.
Pretty close.
No, it's really not. But it's, listen.
It really is.
No, it's really not. You're not going to. There's certain things I know more about.
I think it's closer than you think.
You're wrong.
Fine, but I got them both, so it doesn't matter.
And I will take, with my next two picks, one of the great teams from the 60s. Paige Feickert recently wrote a long story about this franchise. A condensed version, I believe, is in the NBC program. I went to lunch with her. I read it. She's a young woman.
I know who Paige is.
And she really delved into the Rapid Transit Dreamliners, who, in my opinion, are one of the legendary teams in this tournament.
Where is the full piece?
And my next pick.
Where's the full story?
She has it. My next piece, my next story, my next team
just please.
Will be the Bronx, in all their, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
I don't know.
In all their forms, started as the Wichita, that actually started as the Hutchinson Broncos, then went to Wichita for an amount of time, then to El Dorado, and won a bunch of titles, had great teams. The Wichita Hutchinson El Dorado Broncos.
All right, I'm going to go with some more recent lineages and a couple winners over the last 10 to 15 years. Seattle Studs and the liberal Kansas BJs.
Liberal. Love them. Big part of my youth, I was a big liberal BJs fan as a kid. My next two picks will be the,
let's go,
the aforementioned Grand Rapids, Michigan Sullivans. And yet, this team goes back into the early years, the 40s and 50s, and they were a dominant NBC program. Right here, right out of Wichita, Kansas. Can you guess who it is?
The Boeing Bombers.
The Boeing Bombers.
Boeing. Not Boeing.
The Boeing Bombers.
the Boeing
they,
Bombers.
You know what they could do?
I don't think they've ever been in the tournament.
You know what they could do?
Boeing?
They could Boeing a ball.
I'm sure
That's
they could.
That's why they were called Boeing. You know what that what fathers said to their kids when the Boeing Bombers came up?
No.
They're getting ready to Boeing some now, son.
Well, he really Boeinged that one.
The Boeing.
Why can't you say Boeing?
Because
this has always been a problem.
Part of my
this has always been something that's come between us. Your pronunciation
the
of
Boeing Bombers.
Please stop.
Who's next for you?
I'm going to go with a recent champion. And I would consider them a franchise because they were in more than one tournament, and that would be the Kansas Stars.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No. You can't have the Kansas
Why?
Stars. Because that was an anomaly. That's
a franchise.
That's not a franchise.
Of course it is.
No, you
can't. They continued to play after this.
You can't have the Kansas Stars.
I am having the Kansas Stars.
Oh, brother. What an outwardly cheat.
How?
If I'd picked them, you don't think I would have picked? I didn't even write them down.
They won
the
tournament.
You know what? In fairness to the integrity of the Bob and Jeff draft, I'm not going with a team that played in two tournaments.
They won it.
Good grief. So
some people might vote against that.
That is awful.
And I will also take, with my sixth selection, past champion. Which one, though? The Mat-Su Miners. And not only did I make that selection just now, I feel really good about it.
Well, that's a dumb pick.
Why?
There's an Alaska franchise that should go way ahead of Mat-Su, and I'll be picking them right here, the Kenai Peninsula Oilers.
I'm pretty sure Mat-Su won more championships.
No, you'd be wrong, and you'd be dead wrong.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
And well,
I don't
care what you think. And my next pick, another local team from the '60s that went toe to toe.
This is why you're going to lose.
The Service Auto Glassmen. The Service Auto Glass Club.
Never won.
Of course they won.
When? What year?
64. You couldn't sound more ill-informed. They won in 64. The Dreamliners won in 62, 63, 65. The Glassmen were always in the mix. Next.
Mat-Su won 97. Yeah, Kenai did about the same.
No, Kenai won in 77. They won again in 93 and 94. They're a three-time champion. Matsuda one time.
No, here. They've at least won twice.
They've won one.
No, they won in 87. They won another time.
Oh, in 97. Well, Kenai's won more.
Fine.
Next.
I'm going to take a couple staples of my youth and beyond in this tournament, the Midlothian White Sox.
Not a bad pick.
And with my final selection, I will go with the Ozzie Smith-led Clarinda, Iowa A's.
All right. Not bad.
Feel good about it.
Yeah, that's not bad. I will go with a dominant franchise from the 60s and 70s in this tournament. They won in 78, they won in 67, and they won in 66. And they're in the field this year.
Boulder.
The Boulder Collegians. I think that is a clear win, and I should win. I have a lot more historical knowledge than you.
I didn't go for the historical knowledge. I went for what are people going to vote for in the year 2024. It's a lot of fours to end three straight sentences.
Chris Davis will be calling shortly. Chris Davis, a longtime friend of ours, his father Larry, ran the NBC.
Well, yeah,
for a long
why don't we
time.
Get a young guy? Why don't we get Josh Robertson in here?
Here's Chris Davis joining us, longtime friend of ours, a guy that I spent hours with at the NBC World Series back in the day when I was covering it for the Eagle, and he was shagging balls or doing whatever his dad wanted him to do. Chris, hello.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, we just did our Bob and Jeff draft, and we picked all-time NBC franchises. And we need somebody to judge it. So I'm going to let Jeff read his list first, okay?
All right, sounds good.
And then I'll read mine.
And just know we went back and forth. So if you're thinking I don't have a team that should be on there, Bob will likely have that team.
Okay,
Anchorage. I have Anchorage, Fairbanks, Seattle, the Studs, Liberal, the Kansas Stars, the Matsu Miners, Midlothian, and Clarinda.
Okay.
Take it all in.
Take it in. Fairbanks, Anchorage, the Studs, the BJs, the Kansas Stars, who I don't think should have been eligible.
One of the great franchises in this tournament's history.
Your thoughts on them being eligible, Chris?
Not applicable. Because not enough time was spent, you know. So
it's like me picking Chinese Taipei.
Can I have them and Team USA also?
No, you can't put them in there. I mean,
anyway, that's his list. Here's my list, which can
go ahead.
Yeah, you can give some thoughts on it if you want to.
No, I agree with a lot of them. I think there's a couple of missions on there that I would
you're going to hear my list.
I know that's
we can't
why I
pick
hear
the same.
Dad.
We can't pick the same team. So is my list.
No,
my list of eight includes. Would you shut up?
I mean, Chief.
My list of eight is Santa Barbara, Rapid Transit, the Broncos, which consists of Hutch, Wichita, and El Dorado, Grand Rapids, Michigan, the Boeing Bombers, the Kenai Peninsula Oilers, Service Auto Glass, and the Boulder Collegians.
And just know, Chris, he means Boeing.
So which list, just hearing them off the cuff, who has a better list?
Well, to be honest with you, I like yours, Bob.
Oh, that's disgusting. Get off the air.
And the reason I say that is there's a lot of traditional teams that have come for years and were consistent in the tournament. Very consistent. And, it's like picking apples and oranges. I mean, they're both great lists, but if I was going to give the nod,
most of his teams haven't
Bob,
played in this thing for 40 years.
What does that have to do with it?
Nothing.
He's talking about consistent. Hey, they haven't been here.
Hey, Chris, Do you agree with me that the prime years of the NBC World Series were the 60s, 70s, and 80s? Mostly, though, the 60s and 70s.
Without question. I would say I would say 70s and the early 80s, yes. Yes. Did you have Santa Maria in there, Bob?
They were close, but they did not make my cut.
Who else didn't make the cut?
Well, you know, we had
a lot. Hayes, but they've never won.
Wayne, Indiana, which won a bunch of them way back, didn't pick them. The Hayes Larks didn't make it. There's a few others, but it's Prairie Gravel didn't make it, even though they won a tournament. They had a nice run for a while. To me, it's pretty clearly defined who the best franchises are.
I think
Jeff and me, we picked them.
No question. When you start adding titles and you think about Fairbanks and Liberal and Boulder and their heyday and the Glacier Pilots, I mean, and then, you know, I love...
I had three of those four, by the way. No biggie.
I love El Dorado and Wichita, including them, because they had an unbelievable run also. But a lot of great franchises right there, without question.
Well, thanks for your vote. I appreciate it. And that means that I've won.
You know what's funny is that, you know, a lot of these old-timers, as much as I hate to say this, are gone. You wouldn't be calling me, and all these guys are gone, and now we're the old-timers, Bob, that still understand this tournament and understand what it's all about. And Bill Kipling
still
calls all the time about it, too.
Yeah, so. I thought about calling Bill, but he'd side with me as well, so I didn't want to rub that in,
of course.
Hey, good to hear from you. Thank you.
Hey, good to talk to you. Thank you.
See you, CD.
Right, our friend Chris Davis weighing in on all-time National Baseball Congress franchises. You know, I think about the Eureka, California Humboldt Crabs from back in the
need.
I think about the Ponchatoula.
What about the Honolulu
Athletics? Honolulu had a team here. And one of their pitchers, can't remember. I think he pitched for Liberal. But he was a Hawaiian left-hander named Ryan Kurosaka. And he got to the big leagues. And he was a phenom at the time he pitched here. NBC World Series. And you underplayed Grand Rapids, but they won four of these.
I know Grand Rapids was good. I just didn't have the space to pick them. I wasn't ready. They weren't up.
You know, when I just stop and think, I'm a very lucky guy. I have so many very good memories of covering this tournament back in the time when it was in its heyday. In the 70s and 80s.
Right.
And then being there in the 60s with my dad and watching so many of these teams, I know everybody has a good stories to tell, but I'm pretty lucky when it comes to the sports I've gotten to see and cover.
No
feel
question
the same
about
way?
It. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, but not quite as
in
much.
In some ways, not as much, but in some ways, enough. But never enough.
Well, I wish...
Work on that.
You keep going. You keep doing what you have to do. Still no movement from the Cleveland Guardians.
No, that's correct.
As we try to keep track of things. I'm already getting a little irritated with these notifications.
Well, you know you can turn them off.
I may have to. I certainly don't want to be bothered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you can check Twitter or just refresh MLB trade rumors whenever you need to and get the same information.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow. Comedian Felipe Esparza among our guests.
I'm going to need to laugh.
Yeah, you're going to need it because you won't have any new players. Good luck. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.